You know you're responsible for the weight that you've gained over the years, but is there someone in your life that made gaining that weight just a little bit easier? Either consciously or unconsciously, they enabled you to get to the unhealthy weight that you were or currently are. Well, today we'll talk about those fat enablers and a whole lot more on episode number 87 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hello and welcome to Fat to Fit Radio. So Russ, this is the moment we've been waiting for. I think you finally hit a huge milestone. Tell everyone about it.
I blew the roof off it, or the bottom out of it. I don't know what, but I did. But I lost some weight this week. I'm down to 224.7, which is a little over 2 pounds. So it's just melting off, Jeff.
Which is now 71 pounds of weight loss. That's a big milestone. And now you can finally have that saying that, yeah, you're $2.25, right?
Yeah, nice under that 225, which, you know, was one of my goals. And so now we're going to hit that second goal here, the next one, 200, and down a little bit lower than that for our 100th show. So looking forward to that. But, you know, I want to go over my goals here, make sure we're keeping on track with those. Eating goals, I'm going to give it a good 7 out of 10, still eating well. Exercise, even though it has been raining, I've been doing some inside activities here and working out, doing the body weight exercises. So that's working out okay. So overall, my motivation for the week, I mean, losing 2 pounds is awesome. And I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
Well, that is just great to hear. And we're looking forward to the next show when you have another 1 or 2 pounds, hopefully, right?
Let's hope.
All right. Well, let's move on to our email and comment section.
And our first email came in from Jason.
And he wrote, "Hey guys, I went to the Healthy Wage website that you talked about, but unfortunately the time to apply had passed. That did not dissuade me from making their goal my goal. I have since created my own Facebook page, which I'll link to in the show notes, that I set up as an athlete page, which I thought was kind of funny. I asked all of my friends to become fans, and they are giving me great motivation and keeping me honest as I go on this journey. Every day I divulge what I had eaten that day and how much I exercised. Each week I write down a list of 3 goals, and at the end I review them on the page, as well as the weight update. It's nice to find that I had this vast support network in my friends that I never knew was actually there until it was revealed by my Facebook page. I hope to get more fans to help encourage me on my journey. Thank you guys for all you do. Your podcast has been a great help to me."
Yeah, Jason, that's awesome that you've taken that step and made your lifestyle change public. The cool part is that you've created what amounts to a fat blog, but on Facebook. Rather than just have your little known blog out there that nobody might read and you could just stop updating and nobody might care, you're putting that on Facebook where all your existing friends and acquaintances will see it. It's an awesome idea. So if you're on Facebook, I'm going to invite you to check out the show notes and become a fan of Jason the Fat Man. That's the name of his page. And while you're at it, check out also our Fat to Fit Radio group where Jason is a member. So we'll have those two links in the show notes.
All right, well, let's move on to our second email. And this email came from Bruce. And he wrote, "First of all, I love your podcast and really appreciate the real advice that you give. It has been helpful for me to approach my transformation into the thin person I am living to become. I've been at this since late September and have lost about 8 pounds, depending on what scale I'm using and what time of day I weigh in. I feel best about the fact that I can pull my belt to the last hole without having to suck in my belly and that more and more of my clothing is fitting me better than it has in some time. This aside, my question is about one of my children. My 11-and-a-half-year-old son weighs 114 pounds and is 57 inches tall. He expresses concern about his body and has recognized that his physical fitness level is not equal to his peers as they play during recess at school. He gets easily winded and has a pretty good gut for an 11-year-old. Takes after his old man, I'm sorry to say. His pediatrician has indicated that as he matures and heads into puberty, this may change and he may grow out of his chubby body. Some of his concerns grows out of watching the contestants on The Biggest Loser. I think it's good for him to be aware of being a healthy person, and I've talked with him a little bit about the healthy habits of eating and exercise, but I'm not sure if the same approach that I'm taking to get fit would be appropriate for him. It also doesn't help that his older brother, who is athletic and fit, is critical of anything his brother does. What should I do to help him without becoming obsessed or depressed about his body? Thanks again."
Yeah, it's a tough one. We talked about the topic of childhood obesity back in season 1. I was on show number 23. I just re-listened to that show, and we did quite a thorough analysis of childhood obesity and its causes. I would encourage you to listen to that show first. We cover a lot of information there. But right now, I'm going to give you the shorter version of that information that we talked about in that show. At his weight, your son is considered, as a child, obese. There's a different criteria for children than for adults. Just calculating the regular BMI, like I might for myself, his BMI is 24.7, or very near the threshold for being overweight as an adult. But because he's a child, that number is compared to other children of the same height and age. His weight is above the 95th percentile, so he is considered obese. Now, above the 85th percentile on those same calculators, he would be considered overweight. So he is definitely in that obese category. So how should you help your son? So I would definitely, number one, follow the advice of your doctor and not go overboard and scare him or help him become obsessed with his weight. He has a lot of growing to do, and you want to channel that growth in the up rather than the out direction. So the first thing is activity. Talking, I've found, doesn't help much when dealing with my own children. I can tell them to go outside and play, to ride their bikes, whatever it is, but if I'm sitting around inside, the likelihood of them actually doing that is next to zero. If, however, I say to them, let's go ride to the park, we're off for the next 3 hours riding bikes, playing on the play equipment there at the park, or geocaching, something like that. The difference is I'm doing it with them, and that makes all the difference. Children don't need to work out. They just need to be active, whatever that activity is. Also, watching television, video games, internet, and other sedentary activities should be limited. We all know that intuitively, don't we? At our house, the only sedentary activity during the week is reading a book. Now, second is food choices. Children are given the worst food choices when at school, restaurants, and a lot of time at home as well. Now, we as parents get to choose what food our children put in their bodies, at least until our children are teenagers and making their food choices themselves away from our influence. Yet we still serve our children chicken nuggets, tater tots, and all manner of pseudo-fried foods that we just pop in the oven for 20 minutes and put it on their plates. There's really no reason for that. Why do children love that fat-laden food? Because it's number one, it's delicious, but we give it to them. Now, we have to stop doing that. And also, as far as different children, you can't give one child broccoli and grilled chicken because he's overweight, and another child in your family a quesadilla and refried beans and rice because he isn't. Everybody has to be treated the same. Your family has to make the choice that we are all going to eat healthy in order to help those that are in the family that are struggling with their weight. Now, that's a short answer, quick, but we'll have links to those BMI calculators and the reasoning behind them in the show notes. We'll also have a bunch of other links, including to show number 23, where we talked about childhood obesity at great length.
Well, I guess just to add, you said that some of his concerns dealt with watching The Biggest Loser, and those are unrealistic expectations for adults. And when a child sees this, and this is really shaping his upbringing, maybe that's not a show he should be watching. You know, people think it's great motivation, but for a child to think that this is normal and grows up watching this and thinks that you have to eat like this and diet and train that hard, I just don't think it's a good situation, especially for an 11-year-old in this particular situation to be watching.
Yes, he's probably better watching Scooby-Doo or something else at this point.
All right, well, let's move on to our last item here, and it came in from Talina. And they wrote, first, I'd like to say thank you for this amazing podcast. I started losing weight almost a year and a half ago using CurvesComplete.com, and although it helped me get started, the low-calorie setup ended up making me plateau. Now that I've started listening to your show, I found the safe way to lose weight, and I'm thankful for that.
My question is, for my height, 5'5", and weight, 150 pounds, your BMR calculator says that I should be eating about 2,100 calories per day. Approximately how much of those calories should be carbs versus proteins? I exercise vigorously 5 to 6 days a week for about 2 hours a day, and that time is split half into cardio and half into strength training. I would like to eat so that I can continue to lose weight as I build lean muscle, but my trainer stresses that I should keep my carb intake low. Any help is appreciated, and once again, thank you for an amazing podcast.
And really, the difference between all of these different diet programs out there are how much of the macronutrients that you are eating at one point, what those ratios are. And when you talk about this food versus that food, there are no absolute rules about what percentage you should be eating. Everyone is different, and some people swear by certain diets, and that's just because those diets happen to work for their body and they're predisposed to eating them. They may not work for everybody. So to give you a ballpark number here of what you should be eating, to start out, we recommend eating 50% carbohydrates, 30% protein, and 20% fat. And that's just a starting point to see how your body is adapting to it. As you see how your body reacts to these levels, you can adjust the percentages. You know, I could tell you that you should be eating 20% carbs, and that might be right for me, and you'd last 3 days on that and then binge on something as silly as a loaf of bread, just because the foods I prefer don't match what your body is needing. So start out somewhere on, you know, 50 carbs, 30 protein and 20% fat, and then just adjust those ratios up and down until you find that you're feeling healthy.
So as a quick refresher here, because we get a lot of questions about this, how can you add calories to your diet? Many have written that they can't eat that much food when they're eating natural foods. Interesting, isn't it, that when people are eating those high-calorie processed foods, it's extremely easy to eat 2,000 calories or more. But when you're eating natural foods, it's hard to eat 1,500 in a day. That's the beauty of eating this way. You're eating a much larger volume of food while still eating less calories. So here's some quick guidelines when you're adding foods to your diet.
So for the carbohydrates, just don't eat anything beige. The more plants that you can eat, the better.
And for protein, we recommend that you find the leanest cuts of meat you can. Also things like eggs, just eat the egg whites. Jeff has mentioned in past shows that he eats one whole egg and six egg whites together. The one whole egg adds flavor and makes the consistency more palatable, so it's a good way to get a lot of protein.
And about the fats, don't particularly worry about it. As long as you eat a variety of lean protein, you will get plenty. If you do add fats to your diet, do so in the form of avocados, nuts, and good oils like olive oil.
So, and don't forget those fats. You know, you need to get those good fats in there as well. You didn't mention that in your email. You just mentioned carbs and proteins. And like we said, you know, as long as you get those good choices on lean protein, you're going to get those fats, but it's also good to get those little bit of extra. But that's going to do it for our questions and comments. I want to thank Bruce and Jason and Talina for their emails. All right, if you'd like to get your comment or question to us, there are a few ways you can do that. The first one is by leaving a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is to leave a voicemail by clicking on the Call Me button over on the website, fattofitradio.com.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, let's get into the web report with a couple of interesting news items. Jeff, what do you got?
Well, I have two items this week, and the first one is a study from the American Journal of Public Health, and I'll link right to the summary of this study. And it was entitled, The Ubiquity of Energy-Dense Snack Foods, a National Multi-City Study. What they're really doing is looking at junk food that's being sold in every store around there, not just convenience stores and grocery stores. So this study looked at 1,082 retail stores in 19 U.S. cities, and they found out that snack food was available in 41% of all of the stores that they looked at. The most common forms were candy in 33%, sweetened beverages in 20%, salty snacks in 17%, and these foods were often within arm's reach of the cash register. And they observed that snack foods were in 96% of pharmacies, 94% of gas stations, even 22% of furniture stores, 16% of clothing stores, and 29 to 65% of all other types of stores. So the conclusions are really that just junk food is everywhere. And if you're trying to lose weight, if you're trying to cut calories and you're a little bit hungry and you get tempted, the temptations are just everywhere. Even stores like clothing, that was really surprising that you could buy junk food in a clothing store at the cash register. Do you see much of that in California, Russ?
It's in 100% of grocery stores. I know that for a fact. But the other ones, I've never seen that I can think of junk food in an apparel or a clothing store, something like that. But, you know, I don't see in the back room. There could be machines around there that they're selling snacks to employees as well as to the general public. But, yeah, you know, furniture stores, that's also weird. Why would you want junk food at a furniture store?
One thing that I just noticed are the electronic stores all have chocolate bars and potato chips up at the front counters. And I thought that was kind of odd the first time I noticed that.
Oh, the Fry's Electronics, the line that you go and there's one queue you go into, then they'll take you one at a time. They peel off and let you go to a register. But when you're on the way to get checked out, the whole aisle on both sides, snack bags, chips, candy, cheap items that they want to get you with the last little sale at the end. But most of them are junk food.
Well, speaking of people cheating on their diets, etc., my next news item came from the dailymail.co.uk, and it was an article from Mail Online. And the headline screamed, over a third of women are secretly cheating on their New Year's diets. And this was written on January the 5th. So 5 days into the new year, already people are cheating on their diets. And it gives some statistics that aren't really that important, but I'm just going to read down in the article. And it said that each woman polled had tried to slim down an average of 8 times. 28% admitted that they have only stuck to a diet for 24 hours, with 3/4 only managing to resist temptation for under a week. Now, just seeing this headline and then looking at the statistics, People are going on these crash diets. If more than a quarter of the people who try and lose weight cannot even eat healthy for 24 hours, they have no chance of keeping their weight off. So the people who they polled for this article are doing everything absolutely wrong. They are going on total restrictive diets, and they're only lasting a couple days or under a week. And to have written this article 5 days into the new year and saying that this high percentage of people have already been cheating on their diets, it's because it's a diet, it's not a lifestyle, and it will just simply never work. And if people want to take a look at this article just to see how pathetic it is of what at least people from this news organization thinks that weight loss should be and what a diet is, it is just an interesting read. You know, if you're now into the new healthy lifestyle that we're talking about, this just might be an interesting read to see what all these other people are just struggling with and going through and really getting no results. So that's my story. So Russ, what do you have for us this week?
Well, Jeff, there's infighting in the diet industry. I've got an article here that says Weight Watchers sues Jenny Craig for a TV ad that contained what they say is a big fat lie. Ching-ching. But they've got this article here that says that, I guess Jenny Craig had an advertisement after the new year that said that in a major clinical trial that their weight loss program was twice as good as the largest weight loss program, which was referring to Weight Watchers. So Weight Watchers is now suing Jenny Craig over that statement because they say that there was no clinical trial and this is completely false. And this is because this diet industry is huge. They are losing possibly millions of dollars because of this advertisement saying, hey, ours is twice as good. So it just shows, you know, that these weight loss companies don't have your best interests at heart. They have their pockets close to their heart. And, you know, I just thought this interesting here as well is, did you know that who owns Jenny Craig, Jeff?
No, I have no idea.
It is the Swiss company Nestle, makers of delicious chocolate, are the owners of Jenny Craig. Yes, I thought that was one of the more interesting things I saw in this.
Well, I think that really goes to show that the diet industry is a business. It's about getting people to pay them money. It's about getting people who return customers time after time. It is just another regular business that makes a lot of money. They're not really out there to make people healthy. If that's a side effect, well, that's good, but that's not their ultimate goal.
That's going to do it for our web report for today, and we're going to move into our feature section.
Today's topic is all about people who help you to be fat, and the people who you help to be fat as well. The term that you will hear quite often is an enabler. An enabler is someone who helps you do something. Now, they can't make you eat if you don't want to, but they can sure make it easy to do it and to get fat. I'm going to start with extreme cases of people who are morbidly obese and have hundreds of pounds of extra fat, and I'll touch on some obese children, and then end off with our average listener who seems to be in the 20 to 50 pound overweight range. I was watching a show on TLC right after the new year, which really got me thinking. They were doing wall-to-wall shows on weight loss, and quite a few of these shows were spotlighting morbidly obese people. You might have seen some of these shows like I Eat 10,000 Calories Per Day, or The Half-Ton Teen, or The Half-Ton Dad, or The Half-Ton Mom, or The 650-Pound Virgin, etc. There's just a ton of these shows. In many of these shows, they were showing extremely large people who were totally bedridden, and they were being removed from their homes with help from a forklift and a crew of firemen. They were literally breaking down walls so that they could move these people out of their homes and get them into treatment. And my first thought, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but my first thought was, who is feeding these people? They were showing people who have not been able to get out of bed for years at a time. They cannot get out of their bed to go to the bathroom or to bathe or do anything. And I don't mean to be graphic here, but someone of that size eats a lot of mass of food every day and produces a lot of waste that someone needs to clean up out of a bedpan several times a day. They are totally dependent on the people who look after them for every single need, and many of these people continue to gain 50 or 100 pounds or even more every single year. The question is again, who is feeding them? They are not capable of shopping for their own food or preparing their own food. Somebody is continuing to enable them to massively overeat. Somebody is feeding them, and somebody is killing them slowly. Yes, it is true that they are not forcing the other person to eat everything that is being brought to them, but the point is, way too much food is being served to them. Now, of course, there's the issue of the wants and tastes of the person being fed, but I'm going to ignore that right now and just stick with the facts. They are being provided with thousands of extra calories every single day. There is someone who is enabling them to overeat. Granted, these are the extreme cases where an adult isn't in control of their diet because they have to rely on someone else to feed them. But this happens with children as well. I remember watching a talk show several years ago where they had a 5-year-old boy on who weighed 210 pounds. He literally looked like he would explode. He had so much fat on him that he had dimples where his knuckles should be and even creases at his wrists and elbows. It is a sight that I will never forget. The talk show host was asking the mother how this could have happened, and she was being very defensive and almost blaming the child. She said that as a baby, he was always crying for his bottle, and when she fed him, he was happy. His tastes for sweet things increased, and he wasn't satisfied anymore, so she started putting sugar in his milk, feeding him more juice, and soon he only wanted chocolate milk in his bottle. She loved him and truly wanted to see him happy, and feeding him was the only sure way that she believed would make him happy. And that's just wrong. I mean, parenting isn't all about entertaining and spoiling a child. It's about raising a child to become a mature and responsible person one day. She is 100% responsible for this insane size that he has become. Not many people would disagree. Clearly, the mother provided too much food on a regular basis and made the child morbidly obese. So this was really the low-hanging fruit. A bedridden, morbidly obese person and a very young, seriously overweight child has someone who is enabling them to be fat. But we all have people in our lives who are willing to enable us to be fat. And right at the start here, I have a few points that I need to make. Number one, you are responsible for what you eat and, more importantly, how much you eat. So if you are hoping to blame all of your weight on others, it doesn't hold much water here. Enablers make it easier to be fat and can sometimes outright encourage you, but you are the boss of you. And my second point, someone who is an enabler isn't an evil person who wants to make you fat and unhealthy because that would make them happy. Generally, they want you to enjoy eating, and your enjoyment from eating a tasty meal or snack or dessert is what makes them happy. So think about these examples. I came up with a list of 10, and this was just off the top of my head, and I have a ton more that I can come up with. How about this one? Number one, an enabler could be a spouse or a roommate who buys junk food or snacks so they're available in your home. Or it could be a friendly coworker who always buys big party plates of appetizers for everyone to enjoy after work. Or even a helpful spouse or roommate who buys takeout on the way home all the time so you don't have to cook. Or it could be a loving spouse who has decided to show their love for you by making special desserts for you that you really can't say no to. Or even groups of friends who you only ever seem to socialize with when you're out having dinner and drinks with them. The more you see your friends, the fatter you seem to get. Or even restaurants, they serve huge portions and most people will eat a meal until it is all gone. Or what about the eager next door neighbor's kid who is willing to do all of your outside chores just for a few bucks? Or how about the helpful family member who will go grocery shopping for you so you can stay home and watch the big game? Or even the partner who never gets on your case every time you need to buy larger clothing? And here's the last one here. How about businesses that provide easy access to soda and junk food? Now, these examples don't force you to overeat and not to exercise. They just make it much easier not to do. It doesn't even have to be people. It could be an escalator that makes it easier not to exercise. It could be a bus or a plane that now has wider seats and makes it more comfortable to be larger. There are literally a zillion ways that people and things can enable you to be fat. So, how do you overcome people or things that are enabling you to be fat? Here is my simple 3-point strategy. Be aware, challenge, and then change. So number one, be aware. Is the situation encouraging you to be healthy or not? Simply ask yourself all the time, is what I am doing right now helping or hurting my health and fitness goals? And how did I get in this situation anyways? Point two, challenge. Make it known that this situation isn't helping you with your health and fitness goals. Sure, it makes you happy in the short term, but it makes all of your fat happy in the long term. And point three, change. Don't just say no, but provide alternatives. A person who is a fat enabler is trying to please you. Allow them to do that, but just suggest ways that would be healthier. Now, of course, every situation is different, but try to look at everything in your life and really see, is it enabling you to be fat, or can it enable you to be fit?
Yeah, so those are good tips, Jeff. But, you know, I just want to really put home the point that a lot of these enablers are probably not doing it consciously. It's just simple to load up a plate full of food and stick it in front of you. And it's an unconscious thing. They're just doing it because they think, oh, okay, number one, maybe they're trying to make you happy. But two, there's just what they're used to. They're not used to thinking about portions. Nobody is out there. It's why with 66% obesity in the country that we're not thinking about portion sizes. So I think, you know, like you said, they're not being evil. They're just not thinking about it.
Well, I was just thinking you can have two fat, happy people sitting on the couch every day watching TV, eating their nachos and potato chips, and they're really enabling each other. But the problem happens when one person decides, hey, I want to get into a fit and healthy lifestyle, and the other person is just continuing on like they were. It's really quite hard.
Well, yeah, that person who is not going on that fit lifestyle can kind of feel like they're being left out, like they're being shed, left behind, like like an old skin. And, you know, there might be a little bit of pushback from that. And that's when there's a little resentment and, you know, they want their old lifestyle back.
Well, that's so true. But speaking of eating on the couch, I see you've got a good looking recipe here. Why don't you tell the listeners about it?
So, Jeff, you and I were talking off of the show the other day, and I asked you, we're going through our motions here before the show, and I said, Jeff, what'd you eat today? And you said, I had oatmeal and egg whites, and then you asked what you had for lunch, and you said, I had chicken breast and rice and vegetables. And I thought, Jeff's going to blow his brains out. He needs something different for breakfast, for lunch. So that's my thing this week. I'm going for something different for breakfast, and what I got here is called banana bread pancakes. Now these look really good, and they're using oatmeal, which you do. That's cool.
Oh boy.
They're using egg beaters or egg whites you could use for this too. Cool. Good with that. And they also use cottage cheese, fat-free cottage cheese. So take a look at the show notes for this recipe. It's over at Spark Recipes. And so you got to check this out, Jeff, because you got to get some variety in your diet, man.
Well, I'm looking at the first part of the direction. It says blend in a blender. And then I could blend it in a blender and just drink it kind of like the Rocky. That looks really good.
That's right. No no cooking required for this one. You can just eat raw dough. No, but check it out. They look and they sound pretty good. So, and there's only 126 calories for a couple pancakes.
Yeah, and they look really good.
All right, Jeff. So what is our homework for this week?
Well, the homework this week ties in with the feature section about fat enablers. Your assignment this week is to identify five people or situations that enable you to get away with not living a fit and healthy lifestyle. You need to challenge those situations, and instead of trying to always avoid them in the future, modify them so they'll no longer be damaging to your goals.
That's good. Five. That's a good amount. But Jeff, what is our motivational quote for the week?
Well, the quote actually comes from me. I was so happy with this line that I just came up with in the show. And I said, sure, it makes you happy in the short term, but it makes your fat happy in the long term.
Ah, very, very wise, Jeff. All right. I want to thank everyone for participating in the show, for sending those great questions and all those emails. Keep them coming. We appreciate them and want to have more. So take a look at the show notes as well over at fattofitradio.com. Look for show number 87. And we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.